the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, we have good claim jumpers news. Let's get to that, and then we'll welcome Lisa Goddard. Hello, Ken. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Ken?
Ken, you'll never know.
Oh, I hate Ken. Ken, I hate you with everything. Oh, I hate you with the white hot intensity of a thousand suns. All right, Ken, you're dead to me. I will kill you and your family and your family's friends and the children of your family's friends, Ken. Never cross my path. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill. CNN. What? CNN.
That was a little over the line.
CNN radio correspondent Lisa Goddard. Hello, Lisa.
Hello. How are you?
I'm dandy. I'm feeling fantastic is what I'm feeling.
Wow.
How's life in Washington, D.C.?
Oh, you know, nutty. It's all right. Can't complain.
It's nutty. It is both nutty and kooky. Hey, guess who we spoke to today? We spoke to CNN radio correspondent Steve Kassenbaum from New York City.
You know, I meant to tell you about that. That's right. How do you do? He's our new guy.
He was not bad at all, and the female members of the audience seemed to find his voice alluring and with a crisp and pleasant timbre to it.
Oh, well, isn't that nice?
So I'm just saying, he seems...
And I try to also be appealing now.
Well, I'm just saying, he does. His voice does have a certain silky sultriness to it. If you are of the female persuasion.
I have never heard his voice. I've emailed a lot with him, but I have never heard his voice.
No, he seems like he's a good guy, and he came from 1010 Winds, a CBS radio-owned and operated station. So
that is correct.
So we like him as a not erstwhile. That's not the word I'm looking
for. Well, you know, he needs a nickname, so get on that.
Now, I'm going to get on to that. He needs a nickname, and he needs a theme song.
Indeed.
Hey, so we're working on, we have a little bit of an issue here that we're working on the radio program, and let me ask you this. Just theoretically speaking, have you, Lisa Goddard, ever been summoned for and then attempted to get out of jury duty?
I've been summoned and I just wasn't called. I just went through the motions and I got dismissed.
So you've never, let's say, and this is again just wildly theoretical, there's no personal relevance to this at all. You have never received a summons for jury duty and then ignored it. And then gone past the period. The period has never elapsed during which you were required to respond, putting you in danger of being found in contempt of court and facing criminal sanctions.
Wow. You know, I'm concerned that I may be actually in that exact situation.
You might have a bench warrant out for your arrest, Lisa Goddard.
Because I moved to Washington, but apparently the Virginia authorities still want me to serve on their jury. And so I sent them a little letter, but I think they didn't get it. I think they still think I'm supposed to serve on their jury.
Well, you'll find out the next time you get pulled over for having a tail light out.
Is that what happened?
Well, that's apparently this is what we found out.
If they issue a bench warrant, then if they find you for anything, they can arrest you.
The general consensus is, now Rick Emerson is not a lawyer, but the general consensus is that if you don't show up for jury duty or if they give you the summons, and let's say theoretically, and again, just in an alternate universe, that the summons was sent out on February 1st.
It was not sent out on that date. That is the date that the letter is dated.
Yeah, I'm sure they sent it out weeks later. I'm sure they sent it out yesterday. And that if you just then woefully and egregiously failed to respond to this. Apparently what happens is that they issue a bench warrant, and a bench warrant is just sort of it's not an active, it's a passive warrant, basically. And it just sits there. And then this is what happened to me years ago when I got arrested. It just sat there, and then they tagged me for something else, like changing lanes without signaling or some crap. And then the next thing you know, like you're in the back of a car, being taken down to be booked by a guy who looks like Mo Sipowicz. So, I mean, it's all very interesting. Well, okay. Well, if you call in tomorrow and one of the voices on the show is different, then you'll know from whence that derived. Don't worry about it.
All right, I'll try not to.
Yeah, so we're just going to move forward. All right. I almost feel like even as I utter these sentences, there's really no point in it because it starts with Democrats are working toward a new blah, 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 blah. And even as I say that, I realize that my brain is inserting the words feebly, futilely, in an impotent fashion, pointlessly. The Democrats are working toward yet another way to limit the war in Iraq, but it's like the Democrats can't even get legislation that's non-binding passed. I mean, the Democrats can't even win an exhibition game. So what is it they're going to try to do at this point that's going to have any tangible results?
Well, they're talking about, and I feel like I don't know that I can turn you around on this, but I'll at least tell you what I know. And this is actually going down over the next couple of days. Democrats haven't decided exactly what they're going to do yet. But in the Senate, they're talking about repealing that authorization that the Congress passed allowing the president to enter Iraq. They're saying, we want to repeal that, and then we're going to pass a new one that would limit what troops can do to Iraq, essentially saying that troops could support Iraqis, they could patrol the border, they could fight terrorists, but really trying to get them out of a day-to-day combat role. There's a lot of questions about how that would work, but that's where two senators, Carl Levin and Joe Biden, that's where they are. They're pushing for that. But it seems that a lot of other Democrats in the Senate aren't so sure that's the way to go, and they're not so sure it's the way to do that, to do right now. So today, tomorrow, and Thursday, there's going to be a lot of debate behind closed doors among Democrats over what direction to take. Republicans are lapping this up, you know, saying, oh, they don't know what they're doing. And Republicans say all they want is a vote on funding, a vote to guarantee that the troops will always be funded. Who knows? It's going to be tricky. But I do think that in the next, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to have another major debate on Iraq. It's just not clear what is going to really be the genesis for that.
Are any of these, this is maybe a thing I should know the answer to, but I mean, you know, everybody talks about, you know, like C-SPAN and how you can, you know, tune in, you can see sort of the wheels of democracy in action, but how much of these debates about Iraq are actually televised? How many of these can people actually watch this debate going on, or is, as you said, is a lot of this behind closed doors?
Right now, it's almost all behind closed doors, but the debate they had on the non-binding resolution, that was all on C-SPAN. The House was debating that for a week, essentially, and then the Senate debated it also for more or less a week. Actually, they debated it a little bit longer in the Senate, and that you could watch on C-SPAN. Also, some of the debates in committees... Ooh, we're getting a little news alert on the big, loud CNN red phone. But you can also see a lot of the committee debates on C-SPAN as well. But right now, it's all tactics. It's all... And it really just might be the more interesting part of the debate that we're missing. This is where Democrats say, look, I don't think this is the best way to go. This is what I believe. I know you believe something different. This is where they actually get down to nitty-gritty. And then, of course, they sort of try to agree as a party where what they're going to all stand behind. We don't really get to see the fine differences that are going on behind closed doors. Usually by the time they agree on one plan, they're more or less on board something. You'll hear some people that are unhappy, but not to the extent right now that there is a really hand-wringing debate going on behind closed doors.
Is the Republican strategy just to sit back and do nothing and let the Democrats kind of just destroy themselves in public?
The Republicans in the Senate really want to vote on funding because they really think that a lot of Democrats would like to eventually cut the funding for troops. Now, Democrats some may have been thinking about that, sort of poking a sort of a loose tooth, if you will, trying to feel out what they could do. But right now, I think that the consensus for Democrats is that politically that would be unwise. I don't see anyone who's talking about that anymore. But Republicans still want that vote. They are pushing for that, and they're blocking everything else until they can get Democrats on the record that they'll protect funding for the troops. But here's the trick. You can blame either side. I think right now Republicans are probably getting more blame for blocking the debate than Democrats are for taking their time. And the truth is, Democrats really have been in power for just 2 months, not even 2 months. So, you know, while this is obviously a debate that they need to get to, in the course of Congress, this is still, they're moving at a pretty good clip still. But it depends. You can blame whoever you want. Both sides are definitely guilty. But I think more people right now seem to blame the Republicans. They're playing with fire on that. Democrats are happy for that to happen.
If I was a Republican, here's another idea. If I was a Republican, what I'd be doing right now is I'd be putting up like one of those big electronic, like that thing they used to have, the national debt clock.
Yes.
I would be putting up like a Democratic inactivity clock, where you just the number of days, you know, number of hours or whatever it is, you know, number, because they had this first 100 hours thing that Nancy Pelosi kept talking about.
Right.
I would be putting up a clock calculating the number of hours that Democrats have held Congress and like the number of bills and things that they've actually been able to pass, you know, like the actual number of hard laws or bills or resolutions.
See, of course, I mean, not that hypocrisy is ever a factor for our congressmen, but then they'd have to deal with the fact that they did even less last year.
I'm just saying. I'm just.
Right, but I mean, who cares about that? You know, they can now they're. they're not in power anymore. They can go ahead and throw stones.
I'm just saying, I know what the American people respond to. At heart, I really am. I think in another life, I was just some sort of a fascist propagandist.
Oh, no.
I think I knew some previous existence of mine. I don't know. It's just a rare gift. It's like being able to wiggle your ears. You know, some people can do it. Hey, real quickly before you go, I don't know if you've seen this or not. This is from CBSNews.com, so you know it is news reporting of the highest caliber. I'm sorry?
Go ahead. No, that was my ticker tape, my little news alert.
Do that one more time?
No.
Okay. at least 11 people died, and more than 100 people were injured at an annual spring festival in eastern Pakistan celebrated with the flying of thousands of kites, officials said Monday. The deaths and injuries were caused by stray bullets, sharpened kite strings, electrocution, and people falling off rooftops on Sunday at the conclusion of the two-day kite festival. The festival is regularly marred by casualties caused by sharp kite strings or gunshots fired into the air in a celebratory fashion. Kite flyers often use strings made of wire or coated with ground glass to try to cross or cut a rival's string or damage the other kite, often after betting on the outcome. A two-day curfew was imposed after, and I'm quoting now, after the kite flying deaths. Police arrested more than 700 people for using sharpened kite strings or firing guns and seized 282 kites from revelers. And then it has multiple people who, I swear to God now, who died after their throats were slashed by metal kite strings in separate incidents. Two other people were electrocuted while they tried to recover kites tangled in overhead power lines. The kite strings were apparently made of metal.
Oh, no.
And so there you go. So good times in the kite flying world, because I know that Sporbert cares about such things.
That's right. You guys think you're so tough. That's right. That's my man.
I'm just saying, America's new secret weapon, the kite.
Tough kite flyer.
All right, there you go. Lisa Garnett, enjoy the rest of your day. Rest assured that you did sound both intelligent and sultry today, so you have no threat from Steve Kastenbaum.
Fantastic.
All right, thank you, Lisa.
All right.
All right, there you go. CNN radio correspondent Lisa Garnett. Fantastic. I forgot to ask if they really do have a big red news flash phone. All right.
I guess we will never know, Rick Emerson.
No, I will never know. All right. How you doing?
I'm freaked out about jury duty.
Yeah, let me read this. Rick,
okay.
If a police officer pulls Sarah over and she has a bench warrant out for her arrest, the officer has no choice but to arrest her. She's going into the slammer to become another woman's love slave. That's just not ha-ha. It's 503-733-2970. And apparently Acclaim Jumpers is going to be opening in Clack. Well, see, Sarah, there's some good news today. Acclaim Jumpers...
That's just super.
Acclaim Jumpers is going to be opening in Clackamas, at the Clackamas Town Center, of course. So there you go. Okay, so see.
Wow,
it's not,
life is better.
You won't be able to eat there because you'll be in jail, but it's not all bad news. Let's see, what else do we have here? Rick, how to get out of jury duty. One, have Sarah ride the Max all day long. Surely something bad will happen to her. This is the others are just dumb.
How about you cannot speak or understand English?
Well, that's what I was saying. I was saying that you ought to just pretend to be deaf mute. Just Sarah, you know. And
you need some of those deaf mute cards.
Can I pretend that I have Tourette's?
Maybe you could do that. Maybe you could just drool a lot. Like, if you just let your mouth kind of hang slack and just let saliva fall out. Rick, I remember my mom and dad taking me to the Acclaim Jumper when I was in high school. My club sandwich literally had an entire head of lettuce. We had to take the rest of it home to feed to our sheep. And that chocolate dessert you're describing is the size of a brick, and it's called the mother load. All right, there you go. All right, well, let's see. Where's my cell phone?
Are you going to do it now?
I'm going to call the...
I'm scared.
You want me to wait?
Yeah, let's wait.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
I was going to call to try to get you out of jury duty. That's fine. I'll wait. All right. I'll put my phone back here. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Well, this whole day has just been bizarre. Oh, and then, there's no other way to put this. And then, why do these things always happen in clumps? These things always happen in clusters. So, not only are you going to jail, I'm not saying you're going to jail, but not only do you risk criminal sanctions after being found in contempt of court for ignoring your jury summons, Sarah Dillon.
Yeah.
If, So how are you going to be spending your last night of freedom tonight?
Well, I totally forgot. I told Jen Lane I'd do this thing a while ago, which is why...
What thing tonight with Jen Lane?
I'm judging a contest.
Where?
At the Matador.
Oh, that's got class written all over it.
Oh, it's the classy contest.
Maybe you'll be stabbed. What is happening? What kind of contest are you, Sarah Dillon, judging tonight at the Matador?
Can I say it?
Sure. You are not being lascivious. This is simply the nature of the contest. And you're not speaking crudely or using unacceptable slang or epithets. You are judging tonight a contest. Okay, remember how...
I'll just tell you the name of the contest.
At the Grand Cafe a few years ago, Sarah and I were inexplicably picked to judge a breakdancing contest. And so tonight, though, at the Matador, you, Sarah Dillon... Tell me if I've got something wrong here. Tell me if I'm incorrect about this. Tonight at the Matador, you, Sarah Dillon, along with Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine, will be judging a smallest penis contest.
In Portland. I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
Why?
So contestants may only come from inside the city? So I'm sure there are a lot of prospective people who'd like to enter
this
contest.
I really
don't
have...
What were the prizes?
I don't have any information. She had asked
what
me
what information
it.
Could you possibly need? How is it that you need this to be explicated?
I don't know the contestants. I don't know what time it starts. I don't know
just
anything.
Just be glad I didn't talk about it when Lisa Goddard was on hold. How embarrassing that would have been for everybody.
I'm not embarrassed. You're the only one who would be embarrassed.
I wouldn't be embarrassed. Lisa knows that I don't take part in such slatternly behavior.
I don't feel bad because these people are entering knowing the name of the contest.
Well, that's my thing is who would enter that? Like, who would enter a contest for the smallest member? I don't understand.
I don't
what
know.
What do they win?
I don't know. I know. I'm being honest.
Enough booze to drink themselves happy?
I literally don't know anything about it.
Okay.
We should have Jen Lane call.
Well, she's going to be on tomorrow, so you guys can do a recap. Oh, wait, tomorrow? No, Thursday. Well, whatever. Anywho. So that's happening tonight. At the Matador, Sarah's going to be judging a smallest member contest. How is it now? Are the men going to be clothed or unclothed?
Well, I'm sure we're going to be happy.
Once they're inside,
see it.
It's a little bit chilly out.
Yeah. But I'm saying, so you're not going to be judging it through tight-fitting undergarments. You're going to be judging them in the altogether?
I don't know. Rick, I honestly
what
have no
What are they
idea.
Giving you for this?
Free drinks.
Okay.
If there's a couple free vodka sodas, then I'll go...
Pretty much anywhere.
Judge.
Okay.
Not pretty much everywhere. That's
let's
mean.
See. No, of course. You have a lot of standards. Judging your smallest penis contest at a dive bar, for example.
Thanks, Rick.
That really does beg the question, what wouldn't you do?
I find it amusing, and Jen Lane herself is funny.
Oh, no, I find it all kinds of amusing.
You know that there are many things that I've been asked to do that I have not done, and... Judging a small penis contest is not one of these things I'm going to say no to.
Will there be media coverage of this event?
I'll bring my camera.
This email says, Rick, about Sarah's contest tonight.
How do people write so quickly?
It's the magic of technology, Sarah. This email says... I knew that Sarah had to answer a subpoena, but this is ridiculous.
We should break.
Take a look at
thank
my
you.
Enormous penis.
Back after this. Jesse, your phone calls. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. Later on, Dennis Pittenberger in the top five. And then Tom Likas at 3 o'clock. Stay there. Back after this.
Everything is going my way.
Well, all right there. Hello. The Rick Emerson radio program. Rick, about Sarah's contest. What would be worse, winning that contest or coming in second? Double loser.
Aha.
Uh-huh. The smallest member contest. How many judges are there? You don't know anything about it.
I know nothing about it.
Okay. Why would you? Were you drunk when you agreed to this?
I think I was.
Okay.
So I remember she called me when I was out one night, and I'm like, oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Does the loser get a sympathy date? No, I would not.
Alex regarded by Price Waterhouse. Still being in competition.
It's 503-733-2970. Let's see. If I still talk to my ex-boyfriend, I'd send him down to the Matador tonight for the contest. Okay. All of these calls. All right, well, let me take these, and then we'll have news from the Ministry of Truth, and then some other things. Oh, and then we got to call the jury duty person to get
okay.
All right, this is Jared. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Sarah. Ironically enough, the best way to get out of jury duty is to study up on the case, if you can, and make a really informed statement about it. And they'll kick your ass off the jury duty so fast you won't even know what to do. But if that fails, I suppose you could always tell them you have to go put a bid in on Anna Nicole's baby.
Yes, thank you. I think that she's not worried about, I mean, we'll cross the bridge of corrupting the actual case that she's on when we get there. I think right now she's worried about the fact that she ignored the jury summons and that they can threaten to put her in jail.
What I'm worried about is that I really don't want to get up at 8 o'clock. I don't want to be downtown at 8 o'clock in the morning and waste my time. I just don't want to.
Seriously.
Well, it makes you feel any better. Jails are packed, so.
Yeah, I mean, really. I mean, seriously. And whoever you convict is never going to have to serve any time anyway. Like that idiot woman that hit your car. What did they have to do? She paid $36 or something?
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, so. Yes, all right. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That's a Jared. Yeah, seriously. You don't want to be part of that corrupt system. Let's see. What else do we have here? Jedediah. Hello, sir.
Hi. Yeah, I'm actually the organizer of Bon Petit Sweet Meat, the small penis contest.
Are you really?
Yeah.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Jen Lane just texted me to call in.
Who is this?
Jedediah.
And what's the deal with the contest? What time does
it start? Well, what it is, I'm starting to do, it's first Tuesday, so I'm doing it there. It's actually next Tuesday. It's not tonight.
Oh, so it's not tonight.
No, it's next Tuesday.
Oh, see, so you would have showed up tonight for no reason, Sarah.
Yeah.
You should have been sitting there
and commanded people to take off.
Seriously, are you the guy with a small unit? Every guy that came in, you would have thought he had a small unit.
And so it's going to be a different theme each month, but the bar, and then you get judged from Jen Lane.
What do you win?
What do you win? You win the pride. It's the first annual event. You get a sash, bottle of champagne, a dozen roses.
Have you considered the possibility that no one's going to want to win this contest much, you know, or enter it?
Oh, there's a number of people that are already going to enter it.
Who else is judging?
There's Ariste, who is a local drag queen. Then there's Daffodil Dan, who's a gay bartender at the Fox and Hound.
I guess here's... All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Appreciate it. Call over.
Well, good. I'm glad I don't have to do that.
Why did I think I was not going to have to dump big sections of that call? Why did I take that call on the air and think that was going to work cleanly? All right. We'll get Dean and Dan here in a little while. Here's that guy with all that hair.
Are we going to Tim?
Yes.
That guy with all that hair?
You know.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
That hair. I wore a baseball cap and I wrestled my raincoat against you. That's not me saying that, of course. I'm saying that in the character of the guy who was kind of rubbing up against you on the Max the other day. Tim says something utterly unconvinced. Okay.
Hey, they shut down the Portland tram today.
Bam.
It apparently one of the cabins stopped midway between the stations. The tram cabin was out for 13 minutes because there was an issue in the hull roof. They evaluated the situation and deemed it operational. It resumed its path and passengers exited the train safely at the station. So they were left hanging there in the storm. Well, that must be cool.
Oh, scary.
Be hanging several feet in the snowstorm.
We got this. Sitting here and then just noticed the tram wasn't moving. Maybe it's stuck. Maybe some high-powered surgeon is calling. How'd you like to be on the operating room and you're waiting for your doctor to get there and he can't because the tram was stuck. Mm-hmm. So what is the deal? The tram is moving. And then what happened?
it got stuck between two stations.
Boy, that's just got to be creepy.
So at least now we know it can happen.
We should try to find somebody who is stuck on that tram. If you were stuck on the tram or you know somebody who is stuck on the tram, have them call us. I want to hear about that.
So who knows how they remedy the situation. Maybe they unplug it and plug it back in?
Have you tried rebooting the tram, sir? Let's see, we've got this. Tell Scotty J I will send all the money he needs to buy all the alcohol he wants if he enters that contest. He needs some affirmation. Yeah, all right, here's Tim Riley.
The California Highway Patrol says a deadly head-on crash north of Sacramento was caused by a man at the wheel working on his laptop computer. It happened on the highway. Apparently a Toyota Corolla lost control and swerved into the oncoming traffic. We have reason to believe he was operating his laptop because it was still on and plugged into the cigarette lighter. It took more than 2 hours to clean up the debris. A Nashville, Tennessee think tank, if that could even be possible.
It's not really a think tank so much as it is like a small think jug.
Mm-hmm. Says Al Gore is using up way too much energy. As a matter of fact, his mansion uses 20 more times the national average of electricity. Al Gore's spokesperson, Kayleigh Cater, said the former vice president is taking steps to reduce his so-called carbon footprint. Oh, my pot is down.
Green power switch program, so they use 100% renewable power. They are in the midst of installing solar panels on their home, which will, of course, enable them to use less power. And they've used compact fluorescent bulbs and other energy efficiency measures.
I'm sorry. This is what?
Well, the vice president and his wife are doing their part to reduce global warming
by using a lot of power.
I have been to their home, and I know that they've got the compact fluorescent bulbs, and they've insulated their hot water heater, and they've taken the other steps that are outlined in the book to try to reduce their emissions of the global warming gases that caused the climate crisis that he's talked about.
Well, she didn't even breathe.
Well, color me dumb, though, but, I mean, isn't it the thing that he just uses way too much, like, power because he just has a big house?
Yes.
So, well, there you go. Well, that doesn't.
He's entitled to live in a big house.
Seriously,
he's a big man.
He was vice president. Of course, he gets to live in a bed. That's the point of being an American. You live in a house that's way too big for what you need. So, yeah, that just seems like a non-story. Well, all right, okay.
Well, time for Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson radio program.
Think I did it again.
I just love that.
Well, Britney Spears is getting a personal overhaul of sorts at Promises of Malibu, and now she's getting one online. The homepage of her official website has a brand new look this morning with a vintage picture of a sultry Britney slithering on the floor, promising a new official website soon. Besides that, however, the new homepage simply invites viewers to join her fan club and offers Britney's shop online store. Let's see here. Apparently, it's an old picture from 1999.
Yeah. So take a look at it.
Back well, let's just that. Oh, yeah, it is. She's like 12 in this.
1990. Oh, hold on. Let me look. Hold on.
Oh, you'll like it.
Not because she's 12. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a vintage, really good picture of her.
Oh.
Join the fan club. Shop in the official store.
That is
share
a
the site with a friend.
That's fan. That's a wonderful picture of her.
It is.
You know what's weird?
But it does bring up that point of whether or not she was actually ever pretty, because look at how photoshopped that is.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. She doesn't. In fact, if you didn't know.
She doesn't have feet.
I like to know they can't run that way.
Oh.
They have to try to crawl to freedom.
She's slithering on the floor.
She's not really slithering. She's just laying there as though she's dead, which is kind of hot. If you look at her right here, if I was to tell you that this is one of those real dolls, you'd believe me. If you didn't know this was Britney, if I said this is a real doll of Britney, one of those silicone dolls, you would totally look at the face. The face doesn't even look real. It looks rubbery. That doesn't even really look
like
her.
And it doesn't look like skin. She's all shiny.
Person, yeah, so... All right, well, whatever. Anywho. So, you know what's weird is when you go back and you see the cover of that Baby One More Time record, where she is literally like 13. And it's just strange, man. The whole thing is just creepy. All right.
Part two. MSNBC reports the pop star booked an entire wing for herself at the Posh Malibu Clinic Promises. A 30-day stay at Promises typically costs around $48,000, but sources say that Spears will dish out hundreds of thousands of dollars for her own privacy.
Now, how do you get better if you're staying by yourself in rehab?
Well, that's the, as I said, that's the whole thing, is you're supposed to be in rehab.
She doesn't want to mingle with others.
Oh, man, I swear to God, I hope she gets dragged behind a horse and trampled by something.
I think there's horseback riding, but I don't think there's horse dragging.
not yet. Don't you just want to see her just punched in the face repeatedly at
that's
this point?
Happened.
I got a lot of anger toward Britney
you
Spears.
You really do.
Well, you got a weird amount of sympathy for her.
And I'm noticing other people do, too.
What? I don't understand why you disliked her before, or you were catty about her before, but now that she's done a bunch of crap to deserve it, suddenly you're on the Britney sympathy train.
Because I feel for her, because she might have a lot of money and success and fame and whatnot, but...
But that can't make you happy.
She has to be dragged through the dirt.
Yeah, but now she's the crazy dirt girl who has, you know, bald dolls
she's not
about her, wrapped up in, crazy jackets.
What could be more American?
She's not crazy. She's on drugs. There's a difference. That's the thing. I mean, maybe. That's the thing. She's in rehab, right? Like, she doesn't, I don't know.
Doctors at a rehab facility think the underlying reason for her trouble may be postpartum depression, Marie Osmond style.
Awkward. That's your new thing.
Triggered by headlights.
That's your new thing, is that awkward. I don't mean to sound unsympathetic, just for effect. I'm not trying to do it just to be contrary or the obnoxious, shock guy or whatever, but it doesn't seem like she has a history of mental problems. It just seems that she takes a huge amount of drugs. I mean, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe we'll find out that she's manic depressive or the whatever, because that is like an actual thing. That's an actual mental problem, like a chemical problem. But it just seems like she's a junkie. And I just have a hard time feeling sorry for junkies. That's my thing. So if it turns out that she actually is crazy, mm-hmm. she's got some actual mental condition or whatever, that's one thing. But just being crazy because you're just a junkie who just snorts blow all day, it just makes it hard for me to feel sorry for you. Especially because this doesn't look like an attempt to get clean. This just looks like an attempt to not have embarrassing pictures taken of her while doing everything possible to shield her from I gotta stop. Because it's gonna sound like I'm preaching. I'm just gonna, and I don't want to sound like a Puritan about it, because it's not. I'm not a 12-stepper. I've never been to rehab, so I'm not gonna pretend that I'm an expert on it or whatever. But it does seem like nobody who has a dependency, chemical or otherwise, ever gets over it until you have to face the stone cold reality that you are effing up your life. And if they're buying out, what is this that they bought an entire wing of the hospital? They rented out an entire wing of the hospital at $48,000 a month,
mm-hmm.
Just so she doesn't have to have contact with anybody.
She's reading a book.
That's
a Shields book, Down Came the Rain.
And that's not the way to solve your problem. So that's all I'm saying. It doesn't really seem like they're doing a whole lot to try to make her better. They're just trying to not have any more head shaving pictures taking care of her. So, all right. So that's that. Is that the end of the Britney Watch?
For now, it never really ends.
It's so true.
Britney, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
You see, my problem is this.
You'll know, by the way, that we fought off the temptation to just use that crazy song for her, which Don and Mike were doing the other day. They played "You Drive Me Crazy" over and over. Rick, I wasn't on the stuck tram, but I was driving to Vancouver this morning. I noticed a bunch of sparks flying out of the bottom tram station. I assume it was from some other construction in the immediate area, but who knows? Maybe the whole contraption has become self-aware. All right, let's get a couple of these here. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Father?
What?
Rick?
I think he called you father.
Hey, Rick, no, dude, I got a small penis. I know I can win that contest. How do I get in?
Call over. Thank you. Thanks for calling. Did he call me mother or father?
I believe father.
Father. All right, yeah, we're done. Thanks. Thank you. Dean, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello. Dean? Okay, all right. Okay. Here's Tim Riley.
Again?
No, for the first time.
Well,
why don't you do one more story and then we'll break?
All right, that's a good idea.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to catch you off guard.
Well, you did kind of, but I'm all right.
Nice. You made a, I'm sure no one noticed. You made a flawless recovery.
It's true. Well, researchers are witnessing a chimpanzee skewering a tree creature for supper with a spear-like tool, a rare obsession of a long-studied primate in the wild. It's not uncommon for these chimps to use tools, but to use them in the context of hunting is nearly unheard of, says Jill Pruitt, a professor from Iowa State University who led the research team. The chimp's actual spearing of a bush baby, a lemur-like creature that lives in hollow branches or trunks, has only been seen once, however. And this story is a complete waste of everyone's time. So some other primate experts say it was unclear whether the spectacle was a bit of luck or an indication that chimps have a more advanced ability to hunt than originally thought.
Well, that's
this must be very interesting for people in Iowa.
It's a completely uninteresting story because we know that they're going to rise up and kill us all. Everybody knows that. Rick, there is a Ruby Tuesdays at Marine Shoals Ferry. It's a typical... It is your typical randomly decorated, cramped and loud, casual family dining burger place. Please bring the kiddies. Would you like a side of screaming baby with your meal? Signed.
And it's everyone's birthday.
Signed, 1,900 calories of saturated suck. All right. Let's see. Rick, you were talking about people from the past finding you on MySpace. I've had four girlfriends from a friend of us from Maryland. I've had four girlfriends who haven't crossed my mind in a decade find me in the last month and try to start conversations. I don't want to be a jerk, but I don't want to drag up old news, and if I didn't want them in my life a decade ago, why do I want them in my life now? I hope you guys have the discussion on the air, because I'd love to know how you guys have or would handle that.
Ignore it.
What the hell is up with that? I wasn't even a good boyfriend. Yeah, get in line. Well, that's from our friend Seamus. Seamus? So, yeah, I don't know. It's one thing. I don't know. Do we want to have this conversation now?
Why don't we break and then have it?
All right.
And then you have to call the thing because it's getting close to the end of the show.
There's so little that we've done today. We've gotten so little accomplished. Or have we?
No.
I wish I had spooky Twilight Zone music there. All right. Well, we get back. We'll talk about that. Talk about people from the past tracking you down on MySpace and so forth. And we got this. I'm going to get Sarah out of jury duty. I'm going to do it. May God strike me dead if I don't.
You know what? Remember when a phone company that would not be named was being really mean to me and they were trying to charge me $600 to get on the phone and took care of that?
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that.
It was when we were at Intercom.
Really?
Yeah, because they wouldn't listen to me because I was a woman and you got on and talked the guy down and I didn't have to say anything.
I don't remember that at all.
Nobody remembers that show at all anyway. Is that from the 90 News show?
Are you sure that whole show wasn't something that Patrick Duffy was dreaming?
That was you.
Right.
I remember being in that room.
Back after this, here's Ronnie James.
See you!